This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, November 12, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. In response to a recent enrollment boom, Kelvin Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids is opening new student apartments designed to accommodate families living on campus. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
The numbers this year have been very exciting. We haven't seen these numbers since back in 2012, 2013.
Director of Admissions and Enrollment Management, Justin Denauden, believes there are several factors at play.
There's a fear of a recession, and across higher education, you see that there are students who go back to school.
International students have also been a key component, enrolling from more than 30 countries.
We are a global seminary and really strive to be a global seminary. And so we are reaching out to those international students. And they are seeking a prestigious U.S. school that has a strong Reformed connection.
As a denominational seminary, leaders have been building partnerships within the Christian Reformed Church.
Especially in theological education, there has been a growing trend in second career students.
And many of those second career students come with families in tow, leading Calvin to invest in a $20 million student housing project, with apartments for individual students and families, with up to three bedrooms, along with a playground, outdoor space, and study areas. The housing center opens this month. I'm Dee Morrison.
The holiday season can be difficult for suicide loss survivors. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about a supportive Grand Rapids conference.
West Michigan Survivors of Suicide Loss is a nonprofit locally that serves people across West Michigan, and we host monthly support groups.
Becky Olson is not only vice president of the organization's board of directors, she's also a suicide loss survivor, losing her father Dennis in 2011. For more than 40 years, the annual conference has provided support with strength in numbers.
We're heading into a time when we're sitting around either Thanksgiving or a holiday table, and there might be a seat that's not filled by someone that we've recently lost. And a lot of times people don't really know what to do with that grief.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Michigan lost just over 1,500 residents to suicide in 2023, a trend that has shown an increase of 32.4% over the past 20 years. That's slightly higher than the national average. Olson says the conference addresses the very difficult and complicated emotions that come with losing someone to suicide.
Do we pretend like it never happened? Do we talk about it? Do we not? Do we have some sort of a new tradition that we can honor? And so these are a lot of very difficult decisions and conversations that people need to face.
Registration for the free November 22nd event can be found online at WMSOSL.com. I'm David Limbaugh.
Except for the officer's patrol car, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports nothing else was hit during a broad daylight exchange of bullets between Grand Rapids police and an 18-year-old suspect.
A resident near the intersection of Blaine and Adams in southeast Grand Rapids released doorbell video and audio of the gun battle Tuesday afternoon.
At least four rounds were fired at the officers immediately. Both officers fired. I don't know how many times they fired. I know the squad car got hit, and I'll take that as a win. Only thing that was struck.
In a briefing to reporters, Police Chief Eric Winstrom says a senior training officer and a recruit with 2 months on the job were on patrol when they spotted a man on foot suspected in the theft of a firearm.
So they just stopped and called him over, said, "Hey, can we speak to you?" And that's where he turned and fired his gun.
Fired and ran, but within minutes, other officers captured the suspect.
18 years old. Suspect is 18 years old.
And a police drone located the gun.
Put it up almost immediately and found through a heat signature the firearm that had been discarded.
Investigators will use forensics and other tools to determine if the gun was used in other crimes. And confronted with the dangerous reality of police work, the chief says he's concerned the new recruit may resign.
I've seen that so many times in my career. When you get into a traumatic situation, just quit the job on that very same day. He's in good spirits. I think it certainly helps that no one was injured in this.
I'm Phil Dawson.
If you're a City of Muskegon resident paying your bills in cash, you'll need to have exact change. The city says it no longer has access to pennies from local banks. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
We found out on Thursday that we can't get pennies anymore.
Muskegon City Manager Jonathan Seaforth brought up the issue at a recent City Council work session.
They stopped being minted in May from an executive order back in February.
The city posted a notice on its website asking those who pay their bills or access city services to please have exact change. If not, the total will be rounded up to the nearest 5-cent increment.
On utility bills, it's not that big of a deal. We can credit it to their next month, things like that. Taxes are going to be a little bit of a different story, but we're working through on how that will work.
People can still pay with pennies, but the city may not be able to give them exact change. Producing pennies and nickels has become more expensive than their monetary value, despite efforts by the U.S. Mint to reduce costs. As pennies become harder to get, the city can no longer rely on them for cash transactions.
Unfortunately, there's not really anything we can do about it.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. The state is defending the new Michigan marijuana tax in court filings, arguing it is constitutional and does not conflict with a voter-approved law that legalized recreational cannabis. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The filings this week in the Michigan Court of Claims are an answer to a lawsuit filed by a cannabis industry group against the new wholesale tax on marijuana to generate revenue for roads. The lawsuit says the tax is unconstitutional because it did not get supermajority votes in the legislature, which is required to amend a voter-approved initiative. The state argues the new wholesale tax is distinct from the initiative's retail tax, that it is a road funding act and not an amendment to the marijuana law, and that the legislature has a constitutional obligation to find ways to fund the government. The judge has set a swift timeline to get a final decision before the tax's start date of January 1st. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan bills to have the state track abortion data again are scheduled for a state house committee hearing on Wednesday. Colin Jackson has more.
The data would include a patient's age, pregnancy history, and where they live. Care providers would also need to report any complications. Genevieve Marnin is with Right to Life Michigan. She says it's about making sure abortions are safe rather than stopping them.
Women should have the right to know what risks are associated with that choice and choose differently if that's what she wants.
Ashley Fennessy is with Planned Parenthood of Michigan. She says there's no medical value to tracking things like marital status.
I think we need to think very carefully about what kind of information we are collecting, the level of patient and provider privacy protections.
The state previously tracked abortion data, but stopped last year after a 2023 law took effect. I'm Colin Jackson.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane's staff writer Mark Sanchez about a new private executives club. Wolverine Boots are taking center stage in a streaming TV show, and shareholders will vote on the Steelcase H&I merger next month.
Well, of course, this was the big blockbuster deal. We all woke up that morning a few months ago, that Monday morning, and I still say, you know, I got up that morning and checked my inbox, and oh, Steelcase is being sold. And at first, I thought somebody was pulling something, but no, indeed, Steelcase cut a deal with HNI Corporation, formerly known as Hahn, one of the other top players in the office furniture industry. $2.2 billion deal, and recently they filed the documents and sent the notices to shareholders. There are two virtual shareholder meetings scheduled for the morning of December 5th. One's by the HNI shareholders, one's by the Steelcase shareholders. Presumably, they will approve this deal and the merger. Steelcase being sold and acquired by H&I Corporation should close by the end of the year. Steelcase is this iconic corporation here in Grand Rapids, one of the companies that put Grand Rapids on the map. The deal's coming to a close here within the next month and a half or so. So look for that vote on December 5th. And we should also note another story we did on this just the other day is once this deal closes, you're going to see some leadership changes. The president and CEO at Steelcase, Sarah Armbruster, she's going to leave. She'll depart the company after the $2.2 billion acquisition by HNI closes by the end of the year. There's also some other executives that are departing and some will remain. This is the landscape we're now in. Again, this iconic corporation being acquired here by what was formerly a competitor. And now we're going to see some changes. And what will this ultimately mean for the Steelcase operations in Grand Rapids? Because H&I does indeed intend to operate Steelcase as a brand. Well, it will mean for the long run, for jobs, for investment, for the presence of the big blue Steelcase and those logos around town remains to be seen. But we do know right now that the shareholder vote's set for December 5th, and the deal will then head to close by the end of the year.
When we talk about mergers, you're always looking for how each complements the product lines. And you mentioned that Steelcase will remain a brand. Can you give a bit of a snapshot of what each party brings to the table in this deal?
It used to be that Steelcase was the higher end of the market, the Fortune 500 type clientele it had. Han, as it was previously known, was the lower cost to maybe lower end of the market, smaller businesses. Now, obviously, over the last many years, this industry has evolved and changed. And so there's a thinking, and some of the explanation has been that their product portfolios, their product lineups are somewhat complementary, and they both have extensive dealer networks. So what you'll immediately see is, how do you start integrating this dealership network and which dealer carries which products and how does that go forward? You do have some lessons in this from the Herman Miller Knoll merger a few years ago, but these companies are a little different. So we'll see how that comes across. It's going to be this process of integrating whenever you see a big merger or acquisition. That's what the first year or more probably is all about, is integrating the operations. And in this case, how you then integrate those dealer networks and make those compatible, kind of optimize, make each one make sense, who carries what products, and they go from there.
There's another iconic West Michigan corporation that's also taking the spotlight, and that is Rockford-based Wolverine Worldwide. Some of its boots are now part of a TV program.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of the show Landman, it streams on the Paramount Plus network. The second season will debut November 16th. If you watch this show, if you're a fan of the program, look for the boots. Keep an eye on the boots because they're a Wolverine product. Wolverine Worldwide, as you say, based there in Rockford, it's venturing into what's known as product placement for the first time, and it's partnering with Paramount Plus series Landman. It's a major marketing campaign. You'll see these products in the program, worn by the characters or elsewhere in the program. And think of this in the same vein, you know, we were just talking about office furniture with Steelcase. Over the years, you know, you watch a program, you watch a newscast, you see the office chairs, and oh, that's an Aeron chair, that's a Mira chair from Herman Miller, or that's a Leap chair, or that's an Embody chair. Yes, I've covered this industry for a while. And those are forms of product placement. Or you see a TV show or watching a movie, you see that can of Diet Coke or a certain vehicle being driven and you see the logo. Those are product placements. Corporations work directly with producers on these. And in this case, Wolverine Worldwide connected with the producers of Landman and I think provided about $20,000 in product. So come here when the program debuts. On November 16th, coming up here this week, you'll see some of those Wolverine-branded boots in the program, Landman.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. There is a new club network, I guess we'll put it that way, that's taking shape across the country. We're seeing more and more of these spring up, where you're seeing business executives connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are kind of social clubs, business clubs for executives. They're private clubs. The ones around these parts well known is the Detroit Athletic Club or the Chicago Club in Chicago. And now we see coming perhaps in a year or so what's going to be known as the Commerce Club here in Grand Rapids. This is being pushed and proposed and done by Jeff Lambert of the public relations and investor relations firm. And Jeff's been around the market for a while. A few years ago, he bought the building at 61 Commerce Avenue in downtown. And now the story the other day here in Cranes that was well-read, he's creating the Commerce Club. This is going to be for business executives, young and old, community leaders to just, as he says, get together, talk business, socialize, network, do deals, just start connecting and networking with one another. Think of it similar to folks who remember the old Penn Club or the old U Club here in Grand Rapids. That's similar to what he envisions, and he'd really like some diversity in the membership here. It's going to be membership driven, about a $5,000 annual membership fee, although that number's not cast in stone, but that's some of what they're looking at. And then if you're a member, you will have a minimum spend each year. They're going to limit the first year membership to about 250 people. But it's something different that's coming to town. And Jeff, how he describes it is the three C's, connection, commerce, and community. And he wants folks who have been here a long time and then maybe up and coming business executives and community leaders. Again, just to have a place to meet, to connect, to socialize, to talk deals, to talk business, to learn and have peer-to-peer networks. It's going to be something there on the south end of downtown that he's been talking about and envisioning for a couple of years now. And in talking to Jeff last week for the story that we posted this week at Cranes Grand Rapids, he really talked about how Grand Rapids and downtown has gone through this great period of growth and development. to the point where it's now ready for this type of private club for the business leadership and business executives. Again, similar to what you have in Detroit with the Detroit AC or the Chicago Club.
Everything old is new again.
It just keeps coming around, doesn't it?
Hey, before you go, any updates on mergers and acquisitions?
Yeah, we're looking at maybe a little better market here in the next year or so. We did this story. We posted it here on Tuesday at cranesgrandrapids.com. And each year, a law firm, Dykema, does a survey of business executives, business brokers, investment banks, folks who work in the M&A field. Comes out, they crunch the numbers and come out with an outlook. And basically, a few more people expect a better market next year. 74% of those who responded to the survey this year by Dykema say they expect a better market in 2026 over the next year or so. That's up a number of percentage points to what they found a year ago. And so if you're somebody that's looking to go to market with a business, 2026 could be the good year. We see interest rates are beginning to come down. We've had a couple of two or three rate cuts here this year. There's expectations for more this month and more ahead. So you've seen a lot in the last couple of years, a lot of haggling over valuations when you have buyers and sellers getting together. So that will ease that a little bit. We're seeing what we're told is folks are not as high in their valuations anymore. So that's good for deal flow. And bottom line, it's going to be a little better market in 2026, presuming the economy holds up.
Cranes Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, November 12, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.